for a message that I feel would be appropriate for the graduates, something that they could take with them, something that they could learn, and certainly bearing in mind that all of us are going through this journey called life. And for that reason, we're going to need to pay attention to what's most important, setting the right priorities. If you don't set the right priorities, then anything that you settle with will seem to be okay. But God doesn't want us to live an okay life. He wants us to live an overcomer's life. Amen? So I want to invite your attention this morning to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. We don't have the screens this morning, so you're going to have to turn in your Bible or call it up on your iPad, iPhone, or other electronic device. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 18 and beginning with verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? None is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet you lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Notice the response. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. I want to ask the question, what is your life goal? What is your life goal? You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what I've studied. And I pray that you'd help me to bring it forth, that it might come forth with power and conviction. Let me not speak of self. Let me not speak of the things that I think. But Lord, let me bring forth the Word of God, that it might be able to sink into the hearts of your people, to bring the revelation of truth, and that the truth would set us free. I pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his glory. Amen. What's the significance of goals? And what I'm going to ask you to do, and I've done it, I want you to list your number one goal in life. Doesn't matter what age you are, because if you're still living, you ought to have a goal for living. What is your number one goal? Not two goals, not three, not four. What is your number one goal in life? Is that pretty simple? We can do that. Some of you may have already done it. And in setting that goal, there are some important things that you and I need to bear in mind and need to really take it to heart, because it's important that you follow goals. Goals are important. They're things that are necessary. In business, you have to have goals. They're marketing goals. They're projections. Some companies may say, "Well, my goal is to make a profit." Some will say, "Is that bad?" Well, you won't be in business long if you don't try to make a profit. Some may say, "Well, my goal as a business, we want to protect the environment, or we want to produce some valuable life-saving product." Whatever the goal is, you have to make sure that if it's clear, it will help you with your mission. You setting a goal for your life helps you to accomplish a mission. You're not in this world on vacation. You're here on a mission. You're not just here to enjoy the things of life, and yes, we do. But you are here, and I'm here on a mission. That mission has to do with your goal. Imagine basketball players, all right? and the Toronto Raptors are playing the Golden State Warriors. Imagine them out there on the court, and they're dribbling the ball, and they're doing all this fancy stuff, and they're shooting the ball, but there's no goal. There's no goal. How do you measure the points if there's no goal? Imagine a football player, and one guy, they all huddle, and they come up with this amazing plan that they're going to throw the ball, and somebody's going to catch it, and he's going to run, but there's no goal. How do you know whether he scored or not? Because there's no goal. Now, if we think that goals are important, I watched the USA women's soccer team, and they're playing their hearts out, and they're out there. But imagine if they're kicking the ball, and they're going down the field, and all of these things, they're trying to oppose the opponent and score, but there's no net. There's no goal. You say, well, that would be awful. I wouldn't go see something that didn't have a goal. Why is it that we're trying to live our life without setting a goal? Why is it that we're meandering, is that a word, meandering through life and we don't have a goal? What are you going to do next year? I don't know. Some people even say, I don't care. Well, you better care. Because down the road a ways, maybe not short distance, but a ways, there's this end of life thing, you know, where we kind of transition out of this world and we move into some other world we haven't discovered yet. We believe the Bible is true, where it talks about eternity and it talks about the kingdom of God. But imagine you and me going through life and we're going to reach the end of life. What did you accomplish? I don't know. Why? Because I didn't have any goals. As we interview this young man that Jesus spoke to, you might say that he had it made. You might say that he had a lot of things going for him that he could really say, man, this is good. He was young. How many young people got in there? Now, I asked that question last Sunday, and some of y'all cheated. No, that was 11 o'clock, sir. Some of y'all cheated. You know, you're on the other side of 50 and 60, and here you are raising your hand. You young? Yeah, I'm young. How many people do we have that's below 30? Raise your hand. Any below? Joseph. Brother, you better enjoy that. So I see a lot of young people in church today. Enjoy it.
Amen.
Now, here's the question. If I set a goal of being young, now that might be a good, it's going to happen anyway, number one. But the second thing about that is that goal will change. So let's put on our list that the rich young ruler, he was young. He was young. Let's check that off. Some people say, well, you know, I'm still young. I go to the beauty parlor, I go to the barber shop, I go to the place where I can get nice looking clothes and look young. By the way, you know, I'm just disgusted with these skinny boy pants. You can't even get your foot in them. That's another story, another sermon for another time. But you know, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, I want to look young. But you can't keep that. You can't keep that. All right, so we go to the next goal, and the next goal we find out about this young man. He was a ruler. Whether he was a member of what they call the Sanhedrin, which was 70 elders in Israel, they ruled. We don't know whether he was a part of that. Probably he was a Pharisee. Being young, he had joined that group, grew up in that group, and man, he had some clout. They'd go around and they would tell other people, we don't do that in Israel. Now, they were under Roman occupation at the time. And we better appreciate that in America. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But there are other countries dominated. A lot of things you and I get to choose. Some things we don't, but a lot of things we get to choose in this country. Israel, at that time, they were dominated by the Romans. But the religious rule fell to these people, these leaders in Israel. And they were the rulers. He was a ruler. Young. All right, let's check that off. He's what? He's a young man, right? And he is a ruler. The other thing that we find out about it in verse 23 is that this guy had some money. The Bible says specifically, and Dr. Luke, being one that wants to make sure he understands a lot about his patient, he says he was what? Very, very rich. Very, very rich. How many of y'all like to be very rich? Now, nothing wrong with being very rich. It's what you're going to do with it and how you get it. Nothing wrong with it. All right, so let's check that off, that he is very rich. He is a ruler. And he's young. How long is that going to last? I learned a valuable lesson in life. One, it didn't take me long. Your money doesn't stay with you long. How many of y'all learned that? Yeah, you work and somebody else gets it. Yeah, I wondered when I first got my paycheck, Joe, who is this person called? FICA. I don't know FICA. Why am I giving my money to FICA? That's supposed to be a joke somehow. So when you look at his life and you start evaluating all the things that he had, I find something else amazing about this young man. He wasn't satisfied with all of that. All that he had, and the three things that folks they're fighting for, they're scrambling for, they're killing other people, they want control, they want money, and they want to stay young. He had it. And yet he comes to Jesus. That's a smart fella right there. He really expresses something else, a quality that many of us don't have, because there are a lot of us know that we're not satisfied with these things of life. We know we're not satisfied with them. And yet we keep trying to go get it. What are you going to do, man? I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to do these things. This man had one goal, one thing. So let's check off the fact that he acknowledged that there was one thing that he needed that he didn't have. Let's check off the fact also that this young man, not only did he have one thing he knew he needed, this young man came to the right person that could give it. That says a whole lot. A lot of times things will happen in our life. Emergencies will take place. Crisis will take place. And we don't go to God. We'll go to a friend. We'll turn to our resources and we'll say, let me figure this out. You smart, right? Let me figure this out. Let me just go ahead and check my list off. And Jesus is somewhere way down the list. This young man came to Jesus. And it's a good master. What shall I do to have not more money, not to stay young, and not to be a ruler? He says, I recognize that I'm dying. I need eternal life. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty good goal? Now, in business, if you set a goal, you try to get this strategic plan. So what they do this fancy thing called a SWOT analysis. All right, so you look at your strengths and you look at your weaknesses. You look at your opportunities and your threats. And then you get a management team together and they'd get these boards out and they'd write stuff down how to reach that goal. But you notice three things about this man that Jesus did. First of all, his person or who he was. And I put it in your notes that you look at his life and you see the things about him and you want to just try to discern his position in life. He's pretty set up, right? How many of y'all like to be born rich? You're going to be born young anyway. But born rich, yeah, I would have liked that. I kept asking my daddy, you know, we had a lot of love in our family, though. And that's what he'd tell me. We got love. And I said, Dad, I can't spend that at the store, though. They ain't asking for that. Okay, so he had it all, his position, but his position did not bring total satisfaction. Now would be a good time for you to look at that goal you wrote down and ask yourself, is this going to bring me total satisfaction? Second thing we find out about him is that now Jesus is going to make a proposal. First of all, he poses this question. And he says, you know the commandments. You do know the commandment, right? Now, why would Jesus point that out if the commandments could save you? By the way, I'm hoping that many of you recognize that the keeping of the commandment does not save you. The keeping of the commandment does two things. Number one, it helps you to recognize that there are rules in life. How many of y'all agree with that? There are rules in life. Going back to this goal, and you know, I'm going down the road and I'm traveling down Highway 501, which is a road that you pass when you can. That was my rule. That's my rule, okay? That's my rule, Jane. So I'm passing if I can. So, and it was on double lines. And I noticed this blue light special behind me. And he said, no, you don't pass if you can. You pass where it is permitted. There are rules in life. There are commandments. He said, you know, he said, don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And he goes through the list and honor your mother and your father. And this guy, he comes up and he, you know, sticks his thumb under his vest or whatever, his robe or whatever. He says, these things I've done since I was a youth. Well, he's still young, by the way. And in case some of you all haven't noticed, there's none righteous. That's a favorite scripture Reverend Givens. He'll say, there's none righteous. No, not one. But Jesus, he didn't argue with him. He's not gonna be the attorney, Jesus. He's gonna be Jesus the counselor. Because this man needs a proposal for his life. He needs something to guide him, right? So what Jesus says to him, after he makes this remark, these things have I kept from my youth up. Now, he's checking off a different list than what Jesus is checking off. Because he asked Jesus, remember the question was, how do I get eternal life? How do I get that? That's my goal, Jesus. That's where I want to reach. That's my destination in life. I want to reach that goal called eternal life. Jesus looks at him and says, one thing you lack, one thing. Go sell everything that you have and distribute to the poor. I mean, you can probably, I saw it when I was reading the scripture, you know, I make these little mental notes in my mind. I'm seeing this guy when Jesus, first of all, he said, you know, he said he's ever kept, and then Jesus said, go sell everything, and his head starts dropping. That wouldn't be a problem for a lot of us because we don't have a whole lot to sell. You know, people tell us, have a yard sale. We're good to go, right? Have a yard sale and give to the poor. That's what he said to him. But the young man didn't hear the third thing. He didn't hear the third thing. He didn't hear Jesus say, come, follow me. All he could visualize in his mind was the fact that I'm going to have to give up everything. All right. Jesus, wait a minute. I asked you for eternal life, not to be broke. All right. But how many of you have learned through time that when you trust in Jesus, you don't go broke? You can declare bankruptcy. You can say, Lord, I came into this world with nothing. But when you give your life to Jesus and give control of your life to Jesus, how many of you found out that he's a way maker? Can I go back and tell you what my grandma said? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. When you surrender everything to Jesus, that's an investment. Guess what? He's got it all anyway. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills, plus the cattle. Some people get hung up on the cattle, but he owns the hills as well as the cattle, and not only that, he owns the entire universe. So when you follow him, having given up everything, this places you now in a position, because if he came from eternity and is going back to eternity, I got to close this message. Y'all keep listening, and I got to close this message. I got to come to a conclusion here. Now, here's my conclusion. Having given him the proposal, remember his position, right? He was making it pretty good. But then Jesus gave the proposal, sell everything, distribute to the poor, and then come follow me. That's the proposal. Now, he's not telling you to sell everything, but he is telling you, come here. You want to know how to get eternal life. You want to know how to live this abundant life. Come with me. Why would Jesus say that? Because of where he's going. He came from his Father, and guess where he's going? He said, I'm going back to the Father. I'll take you if you go along with me. What amazes me is that there are people that they've got all the answers for their life, and then they come into a crisis, and they're ready to end it all, and they're ready to say, I want to throw up my hand because life is not worth it. Don't you know that if you're following Jesus and you come across a problem or a situation, it's just a bump in the road, and God will give you the grace and the strength to go on from there. If your life did not end at that circumstance, guess what? He still has a life on the other side of that circumstance. Remember, the goal is not temporary. The goal is eternal. Are y'all still here? All right, so what do we need to do? Three things that we bring out here. Now, we've looked at his proposal. We looked at the problem. And the man has a problem. He can't turn loose. Some of you all, it ain't no problem for you to turn loose some money because you never had it in the first place. How's that? All right, so empty pockets and lint, you know, that's you know, it's bad when you got two pennies and you can't buy 2 4-penny cookies. Some young people went, what? Never mind. I come from the day where you could buy 2 4-penny cookies. Okay, so the problem is that he cannot let go. With some of you, what's blocking your entrance to eternity, you got things in your life, maybe not money. It could be worry. It could be anxiety. It could be unforgiveness. It could be other issues. Will you please let that go? Because when you, watch this now, when you measure those things in time, it cannot compare to eternity. When you start looking at the matters that you're facing, I didn't say they weren't important. I didn't say they don't hurt. But I can tell you that they are not eternal. Problems do not last forever. Amen. You have a gracious God that wants you to have that kind of life. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm destined. I'm going to let go of some stuff. You're going to let go of it anyway, amen? Because guess what? When they roll you in church, I doubt if you're going to have a whole lot of things going with you. Amen. I was attending a funeral service up in D.C. several years ago, and I saw a young person had died, 18 years old, had died, and the young people, they're coming up and they're throwing their rings into the casket, and they're throwing valuable jewelry over into the casket, and I'm watching the grave digger. Can you know what he said? They're not going to wear those rings. And guess what? If they put it in the casket, it's going to be buried. But I know where I buried treasure in, and I know who's going to do the burying. You can't take this stuff with you. So now look at your goal. Look at your life goal. Look at your life goal. And ask yourself, if this is my life goal, how long will it last? What does God say about it? And in the end, will it really make a difference? If God can't say well done about it, if I were you, I'd go back, look at it, go. That's why you have erasers. You got spiritual erasers in life. Go back and erase that thing, right? I never will forget, I was taking a test one time. Ms. Knight, you appreciate this. I wore it and erased it down to the point where it didn't. You know when it gets to the nerve, you got to squeeze it and got to bite it with your teeth, get some more. I've made enough mistakes in life to wear out a couple of erasers. But every day I realize that it's by God's grace. By God's grace. Look at your goal and ask yourself, will this be something that I want to take into eternity? If it's not, just let it go, because you're going to get something better. You know, you're talking about trade wars now. There's a trade war going on all the time. Satan's trying to sell you stuff that really, it's junk. Jesus is trying to give you stuff. It's a treasure. We don't want that. Well, you make the choice. You decide. And then when you get a good goal, hold on to it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing the truth to us, that the truth would set us free. We don't want to be like that young man. Went away grieved. We want to leave happy. We want to leave with the knowledge of knowing that we made the right choice. We selected the right thing. It's a goal, and it's something that, God, you will say, well done. And we can say, it'll last forever. While we don't have a lot of things in this life, we do have Jesus. And that's enough. I thank you for this message. I thank you for how it's challenged me to set my priorities and make sure that they are something that will take me into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we've given you something to think about, something to put your hope in. And if you've been convicted, or if you feel that today you want to make a decision, we invite you to come. Because we're living in a day and age that you really do need to make up your mind. What do I let go of? What do I hold on to? And what will take me to the place where I need to be in life? If you feel that conviction, we invite you to come. May we all stand. Almost time for Sunday school. I'm running overtime. But y'all keep listening.